And we had posted on Facebook, and we had posted in the Two Rivers Tribune an invitation for up to three people who are advocating a yes vote on this measure. And I've got one person here. Got Clifford Marshall Jr., who is here representing the advocates for a yes vote on Title 34. And so welcome to our studio, Studio 91. Yeah, you've been here before.
Yep, thank you much.
Okay, so we're going to have a brief discussion about the issue before us. I'll just start off with, I'll read what it says on the ballot.
Okay.
Shall the Hoopa Valley Tribe amend Title 34, the Marijuana Cultivation Suspension Ordinance? The purpose of this amendment is to establish land use regulations concerning the commercial cultivation, processing, manufacturing, and distribution of cannabis for medicinal or medical use within the Hoopa Valley Indian Reservation in order to limit and control such cultivation in recognition of the State of California's implementation of the Medical Marijuana Regulation and Safety Act, and then it goes into acronyms, as adopted September 11th, 2015, and approved by the governor on October 9th, 2015, so as to ensure the health and safety of employees, independent contractors, visitors to the area, neighboring property owners, and end users of medical marijuana to protect the environment from harm to streams, fish, and wildlife, to ensure the security of the medical marijuana, and to safeguard against the diversion of medical marijuana for non-medical purposes. It is intended to address the Hoopa Valley Tribe's sovereign right to self-governance and prerogative to license, permit, and control commercial cultivation of cannabis for medical use consistent with but not subject to the Medical Marijuana Regulation and Safety Act in order to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of the residents of the Hoopa Valley Indian Reservation on lands over which the county and state are without civil regulatory jurisdiction, and to reduce or eliminate any adverse environmental effects of existing commercial cannabis cultivation operations in the Hoopa Valley Reservation, and to prevent adverse environmental effects of any new commercial cannabis activities which may be permitted in the future in accordance with this amendment. The California Legislature and the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors have adopted laws to decriminalize and civilly regulate commercial cannabis cultivation. Tribal members should be afforded the same medical choices and economic opportunity and not to be subject to the threat of discriminatory prosecution and additional penalties by its government for the cultivation of medical marijuana, which has been legalized and decriminalized by the citizens of California. Vote for one, yes or no. And that is what is on the ballot that you'll have in front of you on Tuesday.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, so just want to have, just read this, and we're talking just a little earlier that it was brought up that Title 34 is going to be removed and a new title is going to be in its place.
Yeah.
But that's not what it says here. It just says amend title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think the election board should definitely put that on the ballot, and I hope we can clear up any misunderstanding about what's going to happen when you vote yes on Tuesday.
Well, the election board can't put anything on the ballot. The election board is either directed through a resolution by the tribal council or mm-hmm. by the petition mm-hmm. gathering, which is what you did, in mm-hmm. order to get this issue mm-hmm. onto the ballot. Mm-hmm. So the election board cannot come back and say, hey, well, we want to further explain this.
That's too bad. So we're going to have to do our best to get information out there so that nobody's confused or misunderstood. A vote for yes on Tuesday means that we would remove Title 34 in its entirety and replace it with the HUPA Commercial Medical Marijuana Land Use Ordinance. It's got a long acronym, but it's basically Humboldt County's Commercial Medical Marijuana Land Use Ordinance, word for word, which provides for regulation of commercial cultivation, processing, manufacturing, distribution of cannabis for medical use, Humboldt County's accept all references to state jurisdiction and requirements are deleted to protect tribal civil jurisdiction. Like Humboldt County, which is subject to federal criminal law as much as the tribe is, the HUPA Commercial Medical Marijuana Land Use Ordinance contains a release of liability in the hold harmless section. So since it isn't illegal to regulate it under federal law, by regulating rather than participating in the industry, the tribal council will have the same legal defense as the county and the state. Other than that, it's basically word for word, exactly like Humboldt County's cannabis code. What we want is that farmers in Hoopa Valley have the same opportunity as farmers in Willow Creek to participate in this industry, to benefit from it, as a community. We didn't really overstep the cannabis code is word for word the same as Humboldt County's. If anybody wants me to email them the full language of the ordinance, I can do that. My email is it's a hoopa word, honotnithgen at gmail.com, spelled honotnilgen at gmail.com. And I'd be happy to get everybody any information they need.
Okay, we can post that into our...
We'll post that down on KIDE.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'll just have to leave a note with us, and after the program, we'll get that up. So if anybody who does want this information can access it.
Yeah.
The question that comes up, though, is what you're asking the people to vote on is to, like you just said, to remove Title 34.
Mm-hmm.
And we had voted on Title 34 previously, and it got defeated, 2-1 margin, that they wanted to retain Title 34.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're setting up a new other scenario here, and you got the ads in the paper that I don't know who paid for these ads.
Rumor has
it that it was the California cannabis people, but I don't know.
Yeah, me and my father were kind of startled at that because we haven't worked with these people, we wrote the petition and we carried the petition and we were sort of concerned that what was in the paper would be misunderstood. Sonny Jackson put an ad in the paper. It says 50% taxes to the tribe, no backyard grows. He wants a large compound with 24/7 security. He's got his own business plan. But I definitely want people to know that when they go to vote yes on Tuesday, that's not what they're saying yes to. We have no proposal for a 50% tax. We're for small farmers and small growers. We don't want an industrial grow. So much. Not that we're against it. There's nothing in the ordinance against it. But we noticed that the tribes that tried to do big industrial grows were all, busted this year. And that's just not how, the county and the state or the feds are going to allow cannabis to work on the reservation. I think we have to do something that is modeled after our neighbors. I would like us to have the same opportunities as growers in Willow Creek. And that's why our ordinance is the same as Humboldt County's. All we're saying is that Title 34, which says that you can't grow and you can't cultivate, is removed. And the reason it was defeated last year is because people felt that there were no regulations and that it was going to be a free-for-all, because last year we just asked to remove Title 34. And people said, hey, you know, it's going to be a free-for-all. People are going to be growing thousands of plants, you know, we need some regulation. And so when we came back this year, we decided to vote to remove 34 and replace it with, you know, what's being called the HUPA, Commercial Medical Marijuana Land Use Ordinance. It's the same as Humboldt County's. We're just asking for the same opportunities as farmers in Willow Creek and the surrounding communities. So.
Well, the same as Humboldt County's, and it's my understanding that Humboldt County actually adopted what the California Cannabis Coalition, or whatever their acronym is, and whatever that means, they consulted with them to come in, and there was a lot of questions about that because of the large square footage that was being include it into that package, and you're saying that this is identical. So that would mean, you know, we've got a much smaller area, land-based area here than Humboldt County. And it strikes me on the surface that it would be very difficult to replicate what they do here. So I would think it would be wiser to come up with our standards first before we even vote on this. I mean, that's what that's actually what Humboldt County has done, even regardless of how they got the regulations in place, and they're taking they're putting the horse before the cart, and I think right here you're putting the cart before the horse.
Well, I think that cannabis has been decriminalized since 1996. These communities around us have been
medical,
just medical and medical cannabis. So this is not a petition for recreational cannabis. This is for medical cannabis. California hasn't voted on making cannabis recreational. I believe it's coming up in 2017. But this is what Humboldt County came up with after years and years of participating in the decriminalized industry. You know, this has, it's got provisions for in the environment, best management practices. Here, I've got it here. It creates zones and garden size limits. It requires a medical prescription. It requires the location of the garden site, water source. It prohibits water diversion, so you can't take from a creek. It requires winter water storage. It requires riparian buffers. It's got buffers with schools, churches, adjacent properties. There's a clause in the ordinance that says you can't grow around ceremonial sacred sites, traditional village sites, those things. You're not going to be able to grow there. It regulates the proper use of fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides. It regulates lighting and noise. So these are things that the county and them have come up with after decades of participating. So here it says the zoning clearance, 1 acre or less, you can have 100 to 3,000 square feet. The second permit is if you have 1 to 4 acres, you can have 3,000 to 20,000 square feet. And more than four acres, you can have 3,000 to 43,000 square feet. It's got all the zoning sizes here. And in the end, it really comes down to landowners. You know, the people who have land, that own land, that can participate in it, they can participate in it. I'm worried about the tribal members who want to participate in it but don't have land. And we're going to have to talk about that and what happens. But, you know, these are all opportunities. These things are all going to come up as we go along. There's no one state that regulates it the same. So if you look at what happened in Colorado as opposed to what happened in Washington, they regulate things very differently. Colorado is recreational, and Washington is medical. And so in Washington, you can't drive drive stoned. In Colorado, they're fighting against DUIs for people who smoke and drive. Washington, you can't grow it in your backyard. In Colorado, you can. They had two different arguments. In Colorado, they said that cannabis is much less harmful than alcohol. People are actually, men are 8 times more likely to be violent when they're on alcohol, and as opposed to when they're on cannabis, and they're not. And so they kind of posed the argument in Colorado as a way to, you know, get people off of harder substances. In Washington, they actually said, look, the harms that are caused by prohibition are actually a lot worse than what the substance actually does to you. And so they took the money that they derived from taxes and they put it into programs for education for kids, rehabilitation for people. They spent the money that they used to spend on policing cannabis and they spent it on healthcare, education, those things. So for me, this is just a big, I don't want to get framed as, we want to, get people addicted. We want to sell people drugs. We want to destroy our community. We want to kill the river. These are all big misunderstandings. I think a lot of cannabis farmers, we want to help. We see that the school's full of mold. The store's got rats, you know. Our infrastructure's crumbling. You know, we've got septic tanks leaking into the creeks. We've got irrigation systems that are not in place. The federal government isn't providing health care or education, really. And so this is a great opportunity for us to become independent. And I think it's a great opportunity for tribal members like myself who don't want to work for the government, to be independent. To provide people jobs, to raise our quality of life. And, cannabis farmers like myself, I consider myself an environmentalist. I don't divert from a creek. I don't do any of those things. I have a small crop, enough for me and my family to take care of my needs for the year. I don't make $100,000. I don't make $30,000. Very, very small because we don't have the same opportunities, as our neighbors. So I would like this to be an opportunity for, people to come together. This is a great opportunity to fight for water. We have a quantified water right for fish. We also have a water right for agriculture, but we haven't quantified that right yet. And I don't think that it's enough to just have water for fish. I mean, the people need water to bathe. They need water to drink. They need water to farm. So whether you're a cannabis farmer or a vegetable farmer or a fruit farmer, this is a great opportunity for us to all get together and actually do the research. You know, how much water does this valley need? You know, how much water do we use? Because that's what we need to demand. And I'd like to be able to submit an environmental impact statement that has that integrity. And we're just not going to be able to get illegal cannabis farmers to come out of the woodwork and work with us if it's still illegal. We need jobs for people right now. And right now, it would create, we need inspectors. We need people to inspect the school buildings. We need people to inspect the store. We need people to inspect the cannabis farms. We need the people to inspect the vineyards. There's a lot of great opportunities that I think this industry could help for the tribe, for taxation, for providing Indian people jobs, and also for keeping it out of the hands of kids. Because drug dealers don't ID. And there's a great story that I learned studying this organization called LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And this officer came to this epiphany one day. He was sitting out front of a liquor store, and he was trying to prevent people from selling drugs to kids. And he was undercover. And a kid walked up to him and said, "Hey, will you go in there and buy me a bottle?" And the cop thought to himself, why am I sitting out in this parking lot? You know, if those drugs were behind the counter, the kids wouldn't have access to them. But since they're not regulated, they're out here on the streets and they're easy to get to. So a lot of the arguments for decriminalizing drugs actually came from a very conservative group. It was people who wanted to restore order, who wanted to keep it out of the hands of kids, and they also they wanted their community to respect their law enforcement. And it turns out that when the cops aren't got their foot in your back, they don't have to hunt people every day. They can focus on actually going after figuring out real crime, solving real crimes. You build a relationship with them. And right now, I don't think that our local law enforcement has a very good relationship with the community. So I'd like to see all those things happen. All this is really going to change is that this season, our farmers here in the Valley hopefully can start working towards best management practices. They can come out of the shadows and into the light. They don't have to be criminals. It really angers me that Indian people who participate in this are viewed as criminals when our neighbors in Willow Creek they're just good old boys. I went to the Ace Hardware this harvest, and it was funny. I was standing in line with these four old white men. They were all they all had totes. We were all buying totes for our cannabis. We're all standing there in line, and we're smiling at each other. And I asked them, "So what do you do for a living?" And they all laugh. I went to a great dispensary in Oakland. It's called Harborside Health Center, and the guy who owns it is a guy named Steve D'Angelo. And he was explaining to us the lengths that he goes to end the stigma for medical cannabis. And he said when cannabis was first decriminalized in 96, when you would go to a dispensary, you'd go in there, there'd be a 10-foot barbed wire fence around it, there'd be guards, there was a bulletproof glass window, and somebody slipped you your medicine under this little bulletproof glass window. And he said you left feeling like not feeling good. The barbed wire fence didn't help. The armed guards didn't help. You felt like a criminal. And he said, I wanted to create a dispensary where it was welcoming, it was warm, it was open, it was more like a clinic. People weren't treated as outlaws. He wanted to end the stigma. He's got a beautiful dispensary down in Oakland, California. They do amazing things. They have a free holistic health center. They provide their patients there with acupuncture, chiropractic, it's its own little health alternative healthcare clinic. Amazing. They're the number one taxpayer in Oakland. The dispensaries have to operate as not-for-profit businesses, and so a lot of their profit is given, donated back to the community, to different charities, a lot of different things. And so we can look at these models in other places. I'm sure this thing's going to evolve as it goes forward. But right now, I think since Humboldt County is moving forward with it, and they have regulations in place, we shouldn't be treated like criminals when our neighbors are treated, like business owners and farmers and respectable people. I'm so tired of being treated like a criminal, and I think everybody here in Hoopaw that grows is. I think we'd like the opportunity to show people that we're about being environmental. We want to use best management practices. We want to be just as legitimate as everybody else and be treated with the same dignity and respect. Right now it's just not like that. This is an attempt to do that. I'm sure we're all going to have long discussions about, how much taxes, where the revenue should go, how it's going to be regulated. But I really think that what Humboldt County has right now is pretty decent. And for right now, if we use this, hopefully it'll help. Hopefully it'll help.
Well, we've got other corporations out there in America, mm-hmm. cigarette corporations, mm-hmm. and yeah. they're looking at similar things. We're just waiting for California to legalize things further. Mm-hmm. So that kind of puts the scenario on, like, the market's going to collapse mm-hmm. as far as profits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you're coming in here with this proposal mm-hmm. on the ballot. But as I said earlier, it's you're looking at establishing a law after you get the permission to do it. And it's like my mom always used to say, it's easier to change a no to a yes than it is a yes to a no. And we're already seeing, like you said, that you kind of distanced yourself away from the advertisements in the Two River Tribune about mm-hmm. per capitas and 50% and everything like that. Yeah. So it's already jumped there.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't even got this ballot done.
Yeah.
And so now you get the ballot passed.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's a signal to other people
mm-hmm.
to say, well, let's go. There's mm-hmm. there's nothing holding this back now. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to start talking. Now you start talking about, well, you know, we need to set up some regulations. Humboldt County's got these things. Let's adopt those.
Well, that's
but
because,
that's Humboldt County.
Yeah, but and Humboldt County too. It doesn't. There's no permit for a huge industrial grow.
I know that.
Yeah, there's nothing in there that says you can have something that is monumentally industrial. That's not what we're promoting.
And Humboldt County, by and large, they're talking non-native areas.
Yeah.
So they're not talking cultural areas, mm-hmm. and we definitely have that.
Oh yeah.
And we did that with the river bars.
Yeah.
When the gravel extraction business was just on mm-hmm. a sheet of paper,
yeah,
and then the Dance family saw that, hey, wait a minute, they're going to take gravel right out of this gravel bar right up above the dance grounds,
yeah,
and that's going to be a disaster. So they end up putting it this mm-hmm. establishing a buffer zone,
yeah,
which is what they did up on Ball Hill on the timber. They put in the buffer zone because it was mm-hmm. getting close to the dance grounds up there,
yeah.
So that's the process, and that's the insight that we have and the consideration that we have,
mm-hmm.
and I would expect that to be happening if this were to pass.
Oh yeah,
that would be the same measure.
Yeah.
But it is what mm-hmm. those measures, both of those measures, happened before they said go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
The gravel process was on the papers.
Yeah,
and they were getting ready to vote for it until the Dance family stood up and said, "Wait a minute."
Mm-hmm.
So they had to redraft everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they said,
okay. And that happens. You know, that happens.
It did happen.
Yeah. It's called blowback. It's the unintended consequences of your actions. But let me correct you real quick, because there is a section in the Humboldt County Code, and it's in the HOOPA code right here, 34.7. It's called the Area of Traditional Tribal Cultural Affiliation. It means geographic areas of historic occupancy and traditional cultural use by the Hoopa Valley Tribe as defined by the Hoopa Valley Tribe through oral or tribal law. Okay, and it goes on. But there's basically, you can't, cultivation area. The area encompasses by the permitting, you can't grow in or around traditional sacred sites. And there's
but that's not on your ballot.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, that's the election board and
the tribal council. The election board only puts on the ballot what was submitted to them.
Yeah, yeah. And
what, that's
and
not,
okay, so then
and
that's
that
the
language
tribal,
was not on
that's
there.
That's the tribal council, and I will send anybody any information that they want. This is a 15-page amendment. That's a summary there, but it is a 15-page amendment. And like I said, the 15-page amendment is basically Humboldt County's marijuana cannabis code, and we've changed it to Hoopa Valley's cannabis code.
Okay, so Humboldt County is X number of acres, and Hoopa Valley is X smaller X number of acres.
Yeah, let me say this too. You cannot grow in land it's not opening the mountains, okay? We're trying to get people off the creeks, and this ordinance isn't to open the mountains.
So then you're on the belly floor or the bitch lands.
You're going to have to be in a piece of property. You have to have a piece of property. And I marked it, and I lost it. But, yeah, it's in the ordinance.
Okay,
This isn't to open up Let me get that clear, too. This isn't to open up the mountains so that people can go up there and grow their crop on the creek, or to divert streams or to do that. You have to be, in the valley floor on land that is, either allotted or private property or.
So how is this going to affect food security?
Well,
how much nutrients can one person get from a marijuana plant?
How much nutrients? People use it for medicine, both physical and,
emotional. You can't grow both on the,
You can't grow both? Why not?
Well, no, I'm saying you can't, the old Einstein thing, two portions of matter can exist in the same place at the same time.
I grow my cannabis in my orchard. I grow my cannabis around my peaches and my plums and my apples. I'm a big fan of vegetable farming. I've got a small farm. I've got lettuce. I've got squash, zucchini. I've got pumpkins. We just got done with artichokes. I think people should farm food. I think food security is a big issue. But even with the orchard that I have, I can't feed my family on apples all year. It's my cannabis money that buys my groceries.
And those groceries come from someplace else.
And those groceries come from someplace else. But you know what? I cannot pay for a farm if I don't have money. I have to find a tractor. I have to till my earth. I have to get water. I have to pay a water bill. These are all expenses. To ask us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps with nothing, that's a hard sell. I think about, I think a lot of people are worried, about the harms of cannabis and they fail to see the benefits of it. When I drive through Hoopaw and I look at the quality of life that our people live in, and then I drive to Willow Creek, and before I even get to the elementary school, everybody's got 10 acres and a mansion. It makes me sick. It really makes me sick that our people are treated as criminals, and we are being kept out of this industry, and we're being called the addicts and the cartels and all those things. But those people are good American citizens. They get health care, they get education, their kids go to college, they don't rob each other, they don't have the problems that we have here. And right now the federal government isn't offering anything to better our situation, the state isn't offering anything, the county isn't doing anything for us. All they've offered is more police, more guns. It seems that everybody's answer to our poverty is to buy more bullets. I don't think that that's the answer. I think that, a job stops a bullet faster than anything, and when these people who are out on the streets are given an opportunity, when they can have, I support Indian families. I live in Orleans and I've got three Indian families that grow with me. I feel good about that because them and their children are going to have food this winter. They're going to have their bills paid. They're going to be able to go to the store when their kid wants that treat. They don't have to say no because they don't have any money in their pocket. The poor man says that money is the root of all evil. The rich man says lack of money is the root of all evil. It's all perspective. There is no single path through life that is right and fair and that does no harm. There are going to be issues that come up. Unfortunately, we're not going to make a law about guns until people get shot to death, but that just seems to be how it works. So I think this is a little more responsible because we are putting the horse before the cart and we are trying to come up with regulations. We learned last year that people just don't want Title 34 stricken from the record and there to be no regulations. They want the environment to be protected. They want their kids to be protected. They want their home to be protected. And those are all things that I agree with as a cannabis farmer. I want to protect my home. I want to protect my land. I think farmers have, you have a relationship with the land. I have to know my soil. have to know my water. I have to know my plants. You know, I have to be out there and spend time with them every day. And if I don't do that, then, you know, then I fail, you know. And I think it's a beautiful chance for everybody to get off and get on the land. You know, I think, you know, hopefully we would have less problems with robbery, prostitution, those things, if people had opportunities, if they had money in their pocket, you know, if they had something to do every day. And right now there's nothing to do. I mean, I went to eat lunch, and I was waiting downtown before I came down here, and I was just watching everybody, and I thought, man, you know, there's you know, that guy's an artist. I appreciate, you know, he does paintings every now and again, because that's all that's here. You know, if you, especially if you came up in poverty and you have a criminal record, you're excluded from society. You know, you can't get a job. You know, they throw you back into the system. And so for decades now, we've been recycling people. And I, you know, I really thought that, you know, it's amazing when you read our local paper and you see all the mug shots of our people, you know, who've been getting busted for cannabis for decades. You know, I see old family, you know, house raided, you know, cannabis bust, Indian country, you know, you just don't see it so much, in Willow Creek, in our surrounding communities. It's accepted, you know, violence isn't through the roof, home invasion. I mean, they have their problems, but like any nation, we're going to have to deal with our problems. And this is a attempt to do that. You know, I don't want to get it framed that we're trying to be irresponsible, and we're trying to be very responsible. You know, we want people to be responsible with their water. We want people to be aware of their community and respectful of their community. You know, all of those things are in the ordinance. So, you know, I know that it's time to get this information out, because like you said, there's a short part of it that's on the ballot. And it's not all in there, and so people need to know. Like I said, I'll help you too if you want to post it. If anybody needs me to send them an email, give you guys my email address again. Yeah, I hope this goes through, man. It definitely, I know people are worried about it, so I'm here to help.
Now, the other perspective I have on this is that the answer to poverty is not necessarily money and mm-hmm. income, because the opposite of poverty is injustice, lack of justice. Mm-hmm. And as Native people, and you just framed it just well, is that we have incurred more injustice than anybody else in this country. Mm-hmm. We've got, you mentioned the people in Willow Creek and the people here. As they're developing further, and we're doing similar things, but we don't have the resources, because a majority of our financial income that we got from what entities we do have are siphoned off into this fight for our water resources. Mm-hmm. I mean, your father pointed that out once before, is that the cost of getting our back 49% of our river cost us our economic development.
Yeah.
And so that was at the hands of corporations, American corporations, and the American government. So what we need to do, I think, is to figure out a way how to be more justful.
Of course.
Among the community, and not necessarily have to have a lot of income. I mean, that's people.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You know, people think that I want everybody to be millionaires and everybody to go for it. It's not that. You know, like I said, you know, for a white man, low income is $23,000 a year. You know, for an Indian, what is that? You know, there were years I have five kids. You know, I didn't pull $10,000. You know. Myself, you know, barely pulled $10,000. I can't believe, you know, that poverty for a white man is $23,000, you know. So we're not asking to be rich. We're asking for the very bare minimum that every non-Indian is afforded in the society, you know. But here, you know, But here, you know, it's amazing how conditioned we are to social engineering, to the point where we want to socially engineer our own people, you know, and we want to tell them how to live and how to act and how to think and what business they can participate in and what business they can't participate in. And our best young minds assume an air of American dignity, you know, while greedily, you know, assimilating every Western weakness as quickly as they can acquire it. You know, we do have a problem with class here, you know, and I notice how the upper class doesn't acknowledge the lower class. You know, it exists here. It's terrible. You know, there's a real separation between the leadership and the membership, and you see it. And this is really a fight for the little guy. This is so he can have a job, you know. And the one thing that I personally, think about the Humboldt County Code is that it's made complicated so that uneducated people won't want to participate. And it's made expensive so that only a small portion of rich white males can participate. And so we need to have a system here that allows the poor farmer to get off his feet and to be able to afford to participate in the legal market. Because right now, I think startup for a legal cannabis business, I mean, it's $25,000 or more. You know, you got to pay for the lawyer, you got to pay for the consultant, you got to pay for the permits, you got to pay for the water tanks, you got to pay to get your soil tested. I mean, there's a lot that's going into this because Humboldt County really, had to consider the environmental community, the drought that we were in, the watershed, you know, all of those things. So all of that is in this ordinance. It's definitely a big concern in the area. I think even more environmental regulations are going to come up after this goes through. But right now, what we have is chaos. You know, you've got unknown growers growing unknown amounts in unknown locations, and they're selling it in unknown places to unknown people. Okay, it's a free for all out there. You know. I'm not here because to convince you that cannabis is good or that you should like it or you want it. I'm here because cannabis is dangerous, you know, and we do need to do things to help, reduce the harms that are caused by cannabis. You know, a big part of it is harm reduction. And, people shouldn't have to be arrested for farming and taken from their children and prosecuted, you know, and thrown away by society. I don't think that helps anybody in this community. If you get caught by Humboldt County and you get cited, you get fined, you go to Humboldt County, and who do you pay your fine to? You know, you pay your fine to the Humboldt County Courthouse. None of that money comes back into our community. You know, it's like when you go get charged with a crime, you're supposed to repay your debt to society. Well, who's society? Because we go pay our debt to Humboldt County, and our tribe doesn't see a dime of that money. You know, we're not required to come repay the people who we did wrong by here. You know, we don't have to repay this community for the harm that we do. We have to go pay somebody else's community. You know, somebody else benefits off of it. And so, I would like to see a system. I'm hoping that, you know, with all the failing infrastructure out here, we will become more dependent on each other, and we'll have a stronger drive towards independence and true sovereignty, and less dependence on the federal government, less dependence on the state, less dependence on the county, because right now we are completely dependent. You know, and for me, cannabis is a way for our people to truly get free. You know, this is how, and, you know, it doesn't have to be this radicalized, revolutionary, thing. The purpose of legalization and decriminalization is to make it boring. You know, you take out the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, I finally started talking, going to these meetings and talking about, decriminalization and regulation and, you know, environmental protection and all these things. I mean, it was the first time that I ever yawned, and, you know, I was bored, you know, learning about the war on drugs and how this has gone on for 100 years and things have gotten worse and not better. And finally, other countries are taking steps towards decriminalizing and regulating drugs, and they're seeing all the benefits from that. It's amazing, and I really hope that we can do something like that here. So.
Well, that was, you make sense on that part. We need to establish an economy. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like the scenario I was pointing out before with some point the market is going to be so saturated with all the legalization. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you're going to have massive taxes on the selling point, on the sales.
I've heard farmers talk about that, like, oh man, once it goes legal, you know, it's going to be $500 a pound. You know, the price is going to go way down. You know, there was a lot of people who, I don't want it to go legal because, you know, the price is going to drop and these things. And, you know, I have friends who farm vegetables that go sell their vegetables out at the farmer's market. Man, you can't make $500 a pound on onions, you know. You can't make $500 a pound on tomatoes, you know. You can't make $500 a pound on apples, you know. So it's still a profitable business. It's still something that's going to provide people with jobs. I don't agree with such a high tax because growers are accustomed to what they make, you know. So if I have 20 plants because I'm projecting to make $20,000, that's going to be my yearly take. If I have to pay 50% tax and I'm used to that $20,000, I'm going to go plant 40 plants because no matter what the tax is, I have to make my $20,000, you know. I think a high tax like that would be less environmentally friendly. But at the same time, that's why you have inspectors. That's why we have to have people that are going to these farms, just like Humboldt County, and making sure that people are within regulation, that they're doing it best management practices, that they're not, polluting the soil, using herbs and pesticides, those things. That creates jobs for somebody, you know. There should be a job for people to go and inspect farms. There should be a job for somebody to inspect the grocery store so that our kids' foods doesn't have rat feces in it. You know, there should be a job for somebody to go inspect the school. You know, those are all tribal jobs that we have to create. And, you know, hopefully taxation from cannabis can help fund those things. You know, I think, we all know.
Well, you just said you don't want to be taxed. Now you're saying you. Taxation.
No, I'm totally for being taxed. I'm not for being taxed at 50%. I think 15% is fair. 20% is fair. It's lucrative. I mean, you could go as high as 25%. I mean, those are all debates that we should have, and I think we're gonna have, after this is passed. But, for now, this just provides our local tribal farmers protection and legal protection from law enforcement so that this season that nobody gets arrested for anything that is completely legal in the rest of the county.
Okay, so the way the corporations pay their taxes is they raise the price to the customers.
Mm-hmm.
So the customers are paying the tax.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where your tax base is going to come from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to take it out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to make your pockets bigger.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing. The cannabis that is sold at the dispensaries, okay, and the dispensaries are not-for-profit institutions. The dispensaries can only operate on the money that they need to pay their CEOs, their employees, their directors. The rest of the money that the dispensary makes has to be donated. Has to be given to the community. So that's the beautiful thing about the way dispensaries work, in places like Oakland. I went to the dispensary, they had a wall full of plaques. He said, we've won the homeless feed six years
So you're putting
in a row,
dispensary here? Is that what that's saying?
No.
Then why would a dispensary in Oakland provide a job here in Hoopa to make sure rats are not in our grocery store?
That's not the dispensary in Oakland's job.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the tribe's job, and the tribe has to tax the farmer. You know, the dispensary doesn't tax the farmer. The tribe taxes the farmer. And our tribal farmers shouldn't have to pay a tax to a different nation. We have to pay a tax to our nation. That's where our
government. And then if the farmer doesn't pay the tax, then what happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, then it's the same thing as when they legalized alcohol, right? Why do people who sell liquor at liquor stores comply with the law? Because if they don't comply with the law, they lose their liquor license, they lose their business, it's taken from them. You know, they can't sell alcohol to minors, they have to follow very strict rules. And so that's what this ordinance is about. If you don't comply, then I'd assume that, the tribal government could hopefully do something with the cannabis that they cut down. But if not, if they want to burn it, they can burn it. If they want to... whatever we decide to do. That's the great thing about being our own nation. We can come up with those rules and regulations. What does Humboldt County do if they find a farm that's out of compliance? They come to your property, they look at your 215, they see what you can legally have, and they cut down what's excessive. I think it's a fair process so that people don't get unnecessary convictions. There are going to be farmers who are going to, try to grow more than they're supposed to. And that's why we need our own regulatory agency to have inspectors to inspect these. If we don't want to do it, the county is doing it already.
Then how do you get the 215 permit?
You have to go and get a prescription. You have to go to a doctor and get a prescription.
Any doctor?
215. You have to go to a cannabis doctor. Yeah, you can get a prescription. I don't believe that our doctors here hand them out because it's a federally funded program. So our doctors here in Hoopa Valley don't give 215s. But you can go to Eureka. There's a place called Medican right across from St. Joseph's. There's numerous different places that you can go and get a 215 prescription. You have to have a 215 prescription, and then you have to go to the county and start the process of becoming legal. And the county right now, they know that there's farmers that aren't in compliance, and they're giving farmers 2 years to get in compliance. I think our farmers might need a little more time. Because we don't have the money that the big farmers and other places have, But I want to see us get there. And we definitely should, take Humboldt County's example and give our farmers some time to get in compliance, because nobody's going to be completely in compliance this season, at least.
So where would infrastructure fall into, community infrastructure fall into this plan? Because one of the greatest barriers that people have in starting businesses is there's nowhere to put a business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right now, the way that it works legally is if you're a cannabis farmer, you take your cannabis to the dispensary. And they inspect your cannabis, and if they like your cannabis, they buy it from you. If you have a cooperative, if you have what they call a collective, you can sell more to dispensaries, and that's another thing that's going to be developed. I mean, they have issues. I know out in Eureka, they had 5 or 6 dispensaries at one time, and that didn't work out for them. So they closed all the dispensaries down until they could figure out a better system. I would like to see tribes who don't have land, like Hoopa Valley, I would encourage them to open dispensaries so that we could do business with each other. And I think it's a great opportunity for our tribe and other tribes in California and the nation to work together. I don't think a dispensary would work so well here in Hoopaw, other than it being sort of like a holistic health clinic that provides, acupuncture, chiropractic, herbal remedies, those things. I'm really looking forward to cannabis being an industry for us where we can, provide a quality of life for our people without tourism. It can be grown here, and we can sell it to dispensaries that are not here. We don't have to bring in people, and I think that's a big thing that Hoopa Valley's fought for a long time. We don't want tourism, I think we really don't want tourism, and we like the fact that this is our home. We like the fact that we control this place. We like the fact that nobody can tell us, almost nobody can tell us what to do in our home, and we want to keep it that way. We don't want outsiders here. We don't want them buying our land, buying property on here. So I think for a long time Hoopa has actually been opposed to tourism, and I think that cannabis is a great chance for us to provide our family with a living without having to be catering to tourism.
So how are we going to stop people from being attracted to Hoopa because we have legalization?
Well, downtown does that, man. And I want to thank everybody downtown. I mean, they're our last line of defense. The white man is not coming here to buy land. And I'll tell you why, man. It's because of our addicted and alcoholic people that are downtown on the street panhandling every day and getting by and living. That's the reason why, the white man doesn't come here and buy land. I mean, there's a few white landowners, I'm sure, non-Indian landowners. But, Homeland Security, man, they're not coming here. And if they do, I would like at least for our tribal membership and our tribal government to have enough money to be able to bid on that property. Because as it stands now, I can't buy a house. I can't bid on that property. There's real estate, there's land for sale in Hoopa right now. I wish I had the opportunity to buy it so that I wouldn't have to worry about an outsider coming here. I wish there was a constitutional way that we could make a law that says you can't sell land to foreigners, because we don't want our land taken from us. We can definitely talk about
that. Put that on the ballot. You get enough signatures.
Man, I've had discussions about it. Apparently, it's unconstitutional, and the United States government would never let us do that. But it just wouldn't win in the Supreme Court. But I would love to see us try. I think it's definitely an assertion of our sovereignty, and it would put a lot of people at ease that our land isn't going to be bought by outsiders and the way it was in. On the Yurok Reservation and upriver in Crook territory. I've seen this invasion of yuppies since I was a kid up there in my mother's country up in Orleans. And, it's amazing. They don't need to come in with the army with a gun anymore. They can just smile and wave at you and grow weed and buy your land. And they've been very successful at it. And because Indians didn't participate or were kept out of that for so long, we couldn't buy our land. My mother's people, their land's being bought underneath their feet. And because they're not participating in cannabis, they're not even putting up a fight. Nobody can afford to compete. And so all the land gets bought up by outsiders. So, that's one of those things that Hoopa is scared of, but... thank God for our reputation, because property value. I don't see too many people, outsiders, wanting to buy land here. I think that's kind of it's laughable. If they wanted to be here, they would have been here. But it's.
So where's the workforce you're going to get to employ here?
Well, that's, I assume every family is going to do their own thing and help their own people, I'd like to support the people that I can. I love being able to employ friends. and family members. You know, I've got friends that need work, they need help, you know, they need a job, and it's great to be able to employ people.
Well, that's what I see in Willow Creek.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's people, you go harvest time in Willow Creek and see all the out-of-state license plates.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're from all over.
But you know what? You don't see it in Hoopah.
No, we don't see it in Hoopah. But
you don't see Trimmigrants in Hoopah laying out blankets and playing drums downtown because it's Hoopah. I love that about us. You know, they're not coming here. They don't want nothing to do with us. And I think we like it that way. And I think we can keep it that way while growing cannabis. But at the same time, I hope that we can live together in peace. You know, I think people are really scared of, the things that are plaguing this place right now, home invasions, robbery, theft, but that's here and it's already here. I mean, you know how it is. You can't leave your house, without somebody there. You have to leave your place guarded. You have to have dogs. It has to be fenced off. All of that stuff is going on now, and that's not so much caused by cannabis as I would say it is caused by the harder drugs that are more expensive and that are really hard to afford for people that are in poverty and that are drug addicted, and so they have to resort to things like robbery and other other things. Hopefully, what we're hoping will happen is that if people have a crop of their own, they won't need to rob people. You know, there's always going to be that lazy person, I'm sure, that wants to get over and wants to do that stuff. We're going to have our own problems just like everywhere else. But, you know, part of being a sovereign nation and standing on our own two feet is dealing with our own problems as they arise. And, that's why we want to end the exclusion ordinance. We don't think that it's responsible, and we don't think that it's right for us to, throw our criminals, send our criminals to the neighboring town, I don't think that exclusion is going to work. That's also, I think it's on the, on the ballot as well. So
yes, that is on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a KIDE coupon about 3:03 p.m. The issue with that one is the exclusion ordinance, and it was first meant for child molestations, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it got switched. It got broadened.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take it out, then what you're saying, then you have no defense.
Mm-hmm.
Then what are you going to do with people abusing children?
Well,
there's no law.
Yeah, they're here. I'm not saying that exclusion. It needs to be changed too. You know what I mean?
Well, it needs to be changed, but it's how it's worded on the ballot is different. So I don't want to really get off on that one because we're talking about Title 34 and probably a little bit of Title 31, but we haven't gotten to that at all.
Oh, okay.
But okay. Just the way these things were worded and put it on the ballot, just this what bothers me is there's no arguments opposing it or...
Mm-hmm.
supporting it or
I think the paper and I think have done quite a bit to oppose it. I don't think that there's any journalism here in the Valley that has supported it yet. And I think it stems from a lot of fear. I mean, a lot of misunderstanding, and so education needs to definitely be a big part of this. And, I'm hoping that, one of the things that we can take from cannabis taxation is more education for the public, for kids, for everybody. Because the more this is misunderstood, the harder it's going to be to get moving with this, and we're already behind. So, Any other questions about 34?
I was just wondering about how this is going to play out. Like you say, there is a fear factor to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that comes from a lack of understanding, a lack of presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was my letter to the editor.
Yeah.
It's confusing. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
It's the responsibility of the people to question things that are presented to them and question how things are being presented.
Yes.
The election board is, I just kind of question their interpretation of the process that they use. I can't say that they're absolutely wrong. This is completely illegal.
Mm.
I won't go there, but I'm just saying the presentation could have been better.
Yeah.
But that's not the role of the election board. The election board can't make that ruling. It has to come from the people, or it has to be of a vote of the people. The council could put it on a ballot, say, we shall therefore now have pros and cons and on in the sample ballot, just like Humboldt County does. I brought this up before.
Yeah.
The response
I
always has
Pauline,
the argument before that was, it's going to cost us a lot of money. Well, yeah, it does if you use 20 bond paper, but county and state, they use newsprint.
Yeah.
Printed on both sides. So there's a way around that.
Yeah.
And I think that's more justful to the people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd like to see our political process transform. I mean, we've got the internet now. I'd like to see internet polls so that our leadership that wants to know, kind of get a feeling for what the people think. I know Two Rivers Tribune has a question of the week. Issues like this would be great if, everybody could get it on their cell phone, if they could get it in their email. I'm on Facebook and I'm on the internet. So, I definitely, that was one of the things I've been busy. So people have been, how come you're not putting information out there? What are you doing? So, I came here today to try to clear up any misunderstandings about what this is, and a summary is we want to be able to have the same opportunity as our neighbors. We want to be able to do exactly what everybody else in Humboldt County is doing, and we shouldn't be seen as criminals. We shouldn't be marginalized. We shouldn't be limited when they're not. So we definitely we're hoping people will come out. The farmers that want to farm, love to see you at the polls. The people who want to fight for water, love to see you at the polls. The people who want to protect their community, love to see you at the polls, because everything that's in here is about public health and safety. And if there's something that's not up to par, I'm sure everybody has their concerns, and we can bring it up, and I think we should vote on that. I don't think that any regulations that we come up with, nothing's going to be perfect. This is Humboldt County's code. They're still working on it. It still hasn't been perfected. In Colorado, Oregon, California, Washington, all the states where it's been legalized, they all have different forms of regulation and legalization. All these different governments are definitely, they're behind and they're trying to catch up, and we're right there with them. And this is our attempt to at least have some form of regulation. I think it's wrong to say that, if we can't stop this 100%, we shouldn't have any laws about it. It's just, cannabis farming is going to happen in Hoopa Valley this year, whether people agree with it or not. And so I hope that the cannabis farmers you know, like myself, want to be environmental. They want to be responsible to the community. You know, they don't want to be seen as criminals. We want to be seen as a help. We don't want to be seen as a burden. And we definitely, you know, I want to help the people downtown. You know, I think this provides them a huge opportunity. You know, and right now they're being denied that. I do think the tribe should consider, making some land available for people who don't have land to be able to participate. But, that's further on down the road. Like I said, all these things are going to happen. We're going to have all these discussions, and we're going to be able to work things out. Right now, I think this is just a great experiment for us, is that if it's the same as Humboldt County, how are things going to change when we're not criminals?
That's what needs to be established first, is what are we defining as criminals?
Mm-hmm.
There is no community value that is placed on a table, say, this is a criminal and this is not a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a
difference between a good salesman and a bad salesman, right? The criminal is the guy who sells the stuff that that you're not supposed to, there's a legal definition.
I'm saying we have to establish an agreeable boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if what you're saying is that there's a certain number of people of which you cannot define the number of people who would agree with the way you're saying that you grow your crop for your own self, and you help people who are your family and your friends, but we don't know that number.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have a certain amount of land.
Yeah.
And
that's in the ordinance. See, that's what I'm saying. You're getting back to that.
It is
established in the ordinance. You can't grow on property. I don't want to say allotted, because that's not the word. But you have to grow on your own allotted property, private property, fee land. It can't be land that's owned by the tribe. Like I said, I'd like to see the tribe do that. But in this ordinance, you have to grow on a parcel of property that you or somebody else owns. It can't be tribal land.
I'm talking about, okay, your reference is we don't view the people in Willow Creek as criminals, but we view our own people as criminals.
Yeah.
There's got to be a definition.
Yeah.
And that I doubt very much that's in that ordinance, but that's just a consciousness that has to be developed.
Yeah.
And so that we could say,
Yeah,
Clifford, yeah. Not a criminal.
Yeah, yeah,
and
well, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Somebody who follows the rules and regulations is not a criminal, right? Somebody who doesn't is a criminal. By that definition, I guess it's hard to say what I am. I want to be legal, but right now I'm a criminal.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where I was getting to the point where the cart before the horse.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm trying my best to help eliminate the stigma, because I don't want to live in a community. We live in one. You have to have a gun. You have to protect your property. You have to protect yourself. The response time by the police is it's always late, if ever. Self-preservation, self-defense, all of those things, we all have to concern ourselves with. We have to worry about it. We have to take, our necessary precautions so that ourselves and our families are protected. But it's great to see that in other places, they've actually, ended the stigma behind cannabis, and they can grow out in the open, in the sun, they can contribute to society, they can have a job, there's a lot of negative stigmas that come around with cannabis farmers and cannabis users, and I think that argument that cannabis, you know, cannabis users and cannabis farmers are just, you know, they're just mess ups and criminals and those things. I just think that's already been, you know, defeated. It's almost funny because, I mean, you've got people who are CEOs that, you know, Fortune 500, they're cannabis users. You've got grandmothers that, you know, have ailments, they're cannabis users. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, in this country that are fighting for it. I definitely, we haven't even talked about the really sick people who need it for things like epilepsy and cerebral palsy and cancer and what good it does for them. So,
well, that was addressed in the Title 34, and the reason why we put that is it was established because there already are dispensaries for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't.
Yeah.
The tribe at the time didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, this is not about establishing a dispensary so much, even though there are, you know, in Humboldt County's code, which is the same as Hoopa Valley's code, there's definitely, let me see these points here. There's a business code that regulates nurseries, regulates warehousing, distribution, and dispensaries. Each of these represents a licensed business, and properly permitted farms and businesses will be entitled to police protection. Those are all in Humboldt County's code. You have to have a permit for a nursery. You have to have a permit for a warehouse. You know, you have to have a permit for a dispensary. There's all these things.
You have to have law enforcement to protect you.
Yeah, yeah. If the tribe decides to do a dispensary, they can, but it's not prohibited. You know,
mm-hmm.
if somebody wants to have a nursery, they can do it. It's not prohibited. You know, as far as you know. Police protection, it just means that if you get robbed, you can call the cops and you don't have to handle things yourself. Right now, if you get robbed, you know, you have to handle things yourself. And then that's,
that's when it gets ugly.
That's when it gets ugly. Cannabis farmers want to be protected just like anybody else, you know, and cannabis farmers, they want their family protected just like anybody else, you know, at the same time, we don't want a police state, you know, and,
right.
I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to imagine that there's going to be some cop that's going to, come and save me before something bad happens. You know, they never show up when the actual crime's taking place, you know, they show up after it's happened. So anyway, I know it's getting close to the end there. Anybody who has any questions, feel free to message me on Facebook. I'm on, I have an email, honatnithjen@hotmail.com. Honat, X-O-N-A, nithjen, N-I-L-J-E-N, @gmail.com. I'd be happy to field any questions. And if you want to do this again to bring more clarity before Election Day, I'd love to do it. So. Maybe we could get somebody else in here too. Some opponents, would love to have.
Don't keep the field open, okay?
Yeah, keep the field open, Joe. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you for being here.
Yeah.
I mean, I asked for 3 volunteers, and you showed up.
Yeah.
And hopefully, we brought some clarity to this issue, and we'll continue the discussion as needed. So, we'll try to get this recording onto our website so people can download and listen to it later if you missed it and want to share it or anything. And it'll also have Clifford's information on how to get further.
Give you that.
And he'll go ahead and write that down for us as well. So this is Joseph Orozco. We've been talking about Title 34. And this is the first radio full-length long version of explanation. Well, what this issue is about. And if you have other questions, you know, please feel free to give us a call at 625-4245. You can email us at www.kidefm.org. You can put questions on our Facebook. Again, access at our website or just Facebook us. And we can continue this discussion further. And election day is Tuesday, 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. So we want to thank Clifford again for being here.
All right. Thank you. I will see you guys at the polls. Please vote yes. All right.
Thank you very much. This is Joseph Orozco reporting for KIDE Hoopa.
Love the change. Right on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's do that.